Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Ed Compion.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
And today we're continuing our discussion, we're continuing our podcast series on the mission stream. Jeff, tell me where we're going today.
Okay, well, the mission stream is the idea that when we start to understand who God is, something changes in us and we want to become part of His heart for the nations. And so as a ministry, we kind of look at that as a stream, as a flow, and there are five parts to it. There's the headwaters, there's understanding who God is, and then what we're going to look at today is if you really understand who God is, not only as a church, but individually, things are going to start changing in your life. There's going to be a flow that you're going to now be immersed in that's the stream of God's heart for the nations. And so today we're going to look at the flow specifically for the individual person who now grasps that their God is the missionary God.
In our previous podcast, the one previously before this one, we spoke of what that flow looks like for the church as a corporate entity and what that is looking at for them. Now, of course, the church is made up of individuals. That corporate entity is a gathering of God's people. And so now, like you said, Jeff, let's focus on exactly what needs to happen or what we pray will happen for the individuals within that body.
Yeah, and it really is going to spring forth from the idea that, and I think for me personally and a lot of other people, when you even though you're already walking with the Lord, for some reason, it takes us a while to figure out that the reason we're walking with Him is because He sought us out. That's because right. He's the missionary God and He seeks to save that which is lost. We have relationship with Him. And so now that we get that, we understand that we're proof that He's a missionary God. We now have a desire to play a role in what the missionary God is doing in other people's lives.
And as we grasp that, it becomes a reality for us. That makes a change. We start to get a little bit of mission theology in us, and we want to respond to His goodness now as He's blessed us, that we could be a blessing to others.
Yeah, and so the first way this plays itself out, I believe, in the missionary's, the individual's life, is by this new passion to read God's Word and look for the reality that it's always Him initiating. It's Him reaching out to others. And once that's really clear, as they study the Bible on their own, they're going to want to find other examples of what that looks like throughout history. And so we find that most people that really understand that God is the missionary God, they all of a sudden start watching videos. They have an interest in even movies that are having to do with other people and other cultures. They start to read books, and we're going to talk about all that in a few minutes. But I think right up front, as I think about this, most people, when they get He's the missionary God, they also want to start praying. And there's a great website even that we recommend called prayercast.net, where so many of the countries around the world are already there. And in a 3 to 4 minute video, there's prayer needs listed for that country. And so that would be an example of the flow. Somebody who's really grasped that God is the missionary God begins to have a heart to pray for the people that God has told us in His Word are going to come to know Him from every people, tribe, nation, and tongue. And praying for those people is a great place to start.
Absolutely. And you mentioned prayercast.net, of course, a great resource. The Joshua Project, another great resource. Operation World, another classic. Those sort of things are what would start to, kind of build that desire and build the knowledge of the need to work cross-culturally.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. And I think eventually, I don't know that I know any missionaries or anybody who's really missions-minded and engaged, even if they're not on the field, that doesn't love reading missionary biographies.
Even those that aren't called should love them. I mean, they're just great examples of people serving our good Lord.
Yeah, and as crazy as it sounds, the Bible is a missionary biography.
Yes, that's
true. It's the story of the missionary God's life as a missionary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of your favorite missionary biographies that you've read?
Oh, I'm a little embarrassed as a guy to admit this, but I've always enjoyed reading about Amy Carmichael.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I shouldn't be embarrassed by that. Saying, just her surrender to the Lord was just incredible. I've enjoyed Brusco.
What is Brusco?
Now, I'm embarrassed because I can't remember exactly the country he went to.
Colombia.
Oh, that's right, Colombia. And here's a young guy, sold out, like completely, in a sense, completely not doing what we would suggest as shepherd staff, but still seeing the sovereignty of God use him in a powerful way to reach a people that have never heard the gospel, had no background in Jesus.
And yeah.
It was powerful testimony.
Yeah, it's one of the classic missionary books. And for those of you that are not familiar with it, it's the autobiography of a guy named Bruce Olson and the Motolone people that he went to reach in Colombia. Couldn't pronounce his name. They called him Bruchko. So the name of the book is Bruchko, Bruchko by Bruce Olson. And it's just a classic book. And what's interesting is a newer book came out a few years ago, part two of that. And it's called The Motolone Miracle. And he's now been down there 50 years. And goodness, he's a national treasure to Colombia. But yeah, I think Bruchko is a really important one to read. I think just from as far as like understanding the missionary call, played out in a person's life. There's a great book called On Being a Missionary by Thomas Hale,
yeah,
who's a medical doctor that served for like 30 years in the hinterlands of Nepal. Of course, most people are familiar with the movie Chariots of Fire, but that actually, the guy that they're talking about in that movie that wouldn't race on Sunday, Eric Liddle, L-I-D-D-L-E, has a great story of being a missionary in China. And was actually died in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. Great, great story. But I think the key thing, you know, for our discussion here is that when an individual understands that God is the missionary God and starts to see that throughout His Word, there's going to be the stirring in them to get moving with where they know God's heart is, to get into the flow of where they know God's heart is. And so they're going to look for ways to pray. They're going to read missionary biographies. What are some other things they're going
to
do?
Well, you know, related to the missionary biography, I would even suggest, you know, in this modern era, you can go online and find a lot of missionaries keep a blog.
Yes.
And whether it be an agency-style blog or their personal blog, there's a lot of great testimonies of what God is doing. I guess you'd have to read several blog entries to get their whole biography, but you would get a sense of what it's like to be on the field.
Yeah.
Some of them are extremely well-written. They're just quality, almost, I would say, literature. Others are a little rough around the edges, but they're still incredible reads of what God's doing. They're both of the ends of that spectrum are really powerful. And by the way, here at Shepherd Staff, we tend to publish that every week or two as the missionaries we're honored to facilitate, for the ones we're honored to serve. We tend to gather their blog posts and put them in one post on our site. So please feel free to find us and kind of get a condensed version of that.
Yeah, and I think what's beautiful about biographies or newsletters or blog posts these days by missionaries is that, you know, missionaries are living at a level of obedience and commitment to the Lord that a lot of us don't see ourselves living at here in the States. And so when you understand God's heart for the nations and you start to be interested in, hey, how is He carrying out His heart for the nations? And you hear about people that are doing it, you want to read about them, and it's inspiring. It's like hearing somebody's testimony.
Yeah.
And by hearing their testimony, not only are you put in awe of God in a fresh way of how awesome God is, but you're also provoked to think, hey, am I living at that level of commitment, that level of obedience, that level of self-sacrifice?
Yeah. Even if you're not called to the field, would you be willing to sacrifice the level that some of these people have done?
Yes.
You know, because not everybody is called. I respect that.
Yeah. And actually, I think we talked about that in a previous podcast, but we may flesh it out into a whole one. But the idea that, look, every believer is called either to go, which would be the minority, or to send those that go. And the reality of it is most people are going to be senders, but even a sender who gets God's heart is going to be very well equipped and understanding and have that desire to pray. And, you know, along those lines, one of the things that I think will naturally happen if a believer's in a local church that's, you know, that's preaching the word and they begin to understand that the missionary God is the God of the Bible that they've been studying, what's going to end up happening is they're going to want to find out, hey, what's my church already doing in missions? And maybe I should start up a relationship or read the newsletters or blogs of our own missionaries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It gives you not only things to pray about,
yeah,
you know, but it also helps you kind of intertwine your life with theirs.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what better way than, I mean, hey, reading biographies of missionaries that are already passed away is one thing. But what about, you know, making a relationship with somebody from your own church that's living somewhere out around the world? And especially with technology the way it is, you can interact with them almost on a day-to-day basis and be caught up on their struggles, their challenges, their victories, and you can share yours with them.
Yeah,
great thing.
Absolutely. How interesting it is to be, say, a homeschooling mom in the States and a homeschooling mom in Africa or China or somewhere.
Yes.
And be able to just share bits and pieces of that life.
Yeah.
Or pastoring in a foreign country and pastoring here, be able to share bits and pieces and the funny conflicts that come up with both, of course. But you know, what a great way to share life.
Yeah, and I just think again, when God stirs somebody's heart for where his heart's at, they're gonna wanna you know, they're going to want to make connections with people that are carrying out his will. And there's even opportunities to like interact face to face with missionaries that are visiting in your local city. Maybe they're your missionaries from your church back on furlough, or there may be missionaries from other churches in your town, because maybe your church doesn't have any of its own people on the field right now. But there are always missionaries visiting almost every city every day. And so to take the time to sit down and have coffee with somebody that's been working in Africa or Asia or one of these places and just say, hey, tell me your story. Tell me what's going on. It's a powerful, powerful thing.
And you know, honestly, most missionaries are just about broke. So if you open your house to them, you're going to get a more intimate relationship, be able to hang out and talk, that sort of thing where you're not limited because of the evening's ending, but you're sitting having tea into the night or whatever. And you're not only blessing them, you're getting blessed. You're going to get to know these people at a different level, and you become somewhat of an advocate for them.
Yeah. And so to me, this is, you know, this is the mission stream, I guess, in a sense, the beginning of the mission stream after the understanding who God is in the headwaters, the flow for the person at this point in their life that doesn't feel called to go. This is what the flow looks like. Now, what are some other practical things somebody who's got the flow you think might do, Ed?
Well, if I was in a church, I would go to our missions committee, or, you know, I don't know the polity of every church, but whatever the situation is, go to the missions committee or the missions minister, the missions pastor, whatever the situation is, and really, you know, ask, how can I help out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you need done? Sometimes it's going to be practical. It's going to be manning a table or something like that. Sometimes it may be another level up. We're going to ask you to lead a missions prayer time, you know, or something like that. Maybe they're going to ask you to communicate with some of the missionaries and bring prayer requests into the bigger body.
Exactly.
You know, it could be any number of things, but it would be definitely deepening that relationship. And the beauty of that is, as much as we're speaking about what it's like for the individual to get involved with the flow, the individual isn't by themselves. The church isn't, you know, individual. The church is a group of individuals forming a new body, a community. And so this involves everyone when you do it this way.
Yeah, and that's such an important angle. And it's an angle that's not easy for our culture in our hyper-individualistic understanding of things that we've even brought into the church. It's hard for us to grasp that. But this movement in an individual's life, stepping into the flow individually, should, if we're interconnected with the other members of the body, our moving forward in the flow is going to move other people with us.
Yeah.
And we're going to, in a sense, become infectious.
Yes.
For God's glory among the nations. And that's always a good thing. And even from the idea of, you know, if you see a movie, a great movie, you know, your first thought is, man, I got to tell my friends about this.
Yeah,
I got to tell my family members. You know, well, it's the same thing. When you understand who God is and you're amazed in a new way about him, you're going to want to tell others. And so the missionary, or the individual, excuse me, who understands who the missionary God is and starts to move in the flow of the mission stream is going to want to pass that on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So working with your local church is, of course, important. What else is another way to engage?
Well, you know, I think this is an important one, and that is, you know, again, go to your local church and find out, hey, are we doing anything as far as people from other countries and cultures that live in our own community? Does our church have anything going? Do we have people teaching English to refugees or to international students or others from around the world that maybe in our community? Are there any of those things going on? And what you'll find is that the person who begins to step into where God's heart is and is now in the flow of the mission stream, if their church leadership or members of their church, they're not aware of anybody working with that, what'll happen is those people will find those outlets themselves.
Yeah.
And so even that's what I recommend, you know, is, hey, find out. What's the ethnic makeup of your city? You can actually just go on the internet and find out the demographics of every public school in your city. And it'll tell you how many are Hispanic, how many are Asian or Pacific Islanders, how many are African American. And there's so many ways to gather info on the ethnic makeup of your city. And when you step into the flow as an individual, even if you're not called to go, you're going to want to start interacting with people from other cultures, languages, and even religions.
Yes. And your life is richer for it. I mean, it's kingdom service. I get that.
Yeah.
But the blessing really comes back to us, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. It really does. And it honors God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let me even challenge you this way. If your church isn't, you know, in a situation where it's hosting an ethnic church in it, or maybe has an ethnic church as part of it. Again, I'm not sure the polity of every church that is listening to this, but visit an ethnic church once in a while.
Yes.
You know, go and do worship with them. It may be a little frustrating as you don't understand the language and such, but I guarantee you, it's a blessing to get to worship. You just a little picture of what we're going to see in Revelation 5 and 7 of this worship of every nation and tribe coming together. It's just a beautiful thing. And if I may be so bold, go on their potluck Sunday. That's always the best when you go to an ethnic church.
Yeah, it is. Because again, in most other cultures, food is friendship. Food is fellowship. Not really to us, but for most of the rest of the world. And you know, no matter where you live in the country, I'm guessing even if you don't have an Ethiopian church or a Korean church or you know, a Kenyan church meeting in your community, you probably have Spanish-speaking churches.
Amen.
And so drop in and visit a Spanish-speaking church that meets in your city and build some relationships. Because if they're in America, even though they worship and they hear the word taught in Spanish, a lot of those people can speak enough English because they live here. So you can go in and interact with them, but you can get a taste or a dose of you know, how people from other cultures and languages worship our missionary God.
It will be encouraging to them as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely encouraging to them.
Now, there's another angle to this that I want to kind of suggest, and I'll even back that up. I won't say suggest, I want to push, is purposely develop relationships in your normal life.
Yes.
The people you get your hair cut from, the people you buy your coffee from, the people you get your gasoline from, these are people very often from another ethnic identity. And these are also people that you're going to learn about them, and everybody loves to be asked their story.
Yes.
So if you start asking, hey, I noticed you have an accent, tell me about that.
Yeah.
Or I've noticed, you know, respectfully, your clothes are a little different than my clothes. What's going on? And you're able to ask them and encourage them. And I can guarantee you they want to share.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they may have been afraid to share some of their background, but now they're meeting someone that wants to. I'm no expert in that. I'm not that guy that can do the gospel conversation thing where you're buying a Coke and suddenly you're speaking about, you know, the redemptive qualities of Jesus Christ. I wish I was that guy, but I'm not.
Yeah.
But I have been able to speak with a lot of ethnic people, and eventually they ask, well, what do you do for a living? And I'm able to share then about who Jesus is through that road. Yeah. And I think a lot of people can do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And our you know, the thing of it is, again, I hate to sound like I'm banging on American culture, but again, our culture, it just is, we're very private and we don't like people asking us questions, especially people we don't know. But most of the rest of the world, they love to tell their story. They're proud of their ethnicity. And so, you know, as far as, you know, how do you do that? Well, you know, what I do is just say, if I recognize by their accent or by the way they look, their skin coloration or whatever, that they're, you know, that they're probably from another country, I just say, hey, what ethnicity is your family from? What country did they originally come from? Nobody finds that offensive, because I'm not saying they're, you know, not an American. I'm saying your family has an ethnicity that clearly is probably not from America. And I'd really like to know. And listen, nobody asks them that. All they want is the person to just cash them out at the gas station.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And speaking of that, you know, where the people I get my gas from here locally in my town are from Bangladesh. They're cultural Muslims from Bangladesh. One of my favorite restaurants is owned by a cultural Muslim from Iran. And the
I
guy
love eating there too, by the way.
Yeah, and great food. And the 7-Eleven where I get my coffee and sometimes also get my gas from is a guy from Punjab, India, who's a Sikh. And I've asked them, I've gotten to interact with them, and God's brought the nations into my neighborhood. So when you grasp who God is and you understand what his heart is and what the end game plan is, then even if you're not called to go, your flow in the mission stream is going to cause you to discover who and what are in your community that are, you know, different than you.
Yeah, our end game here at Shepherd Staff is, of course, we want to facilitate churches to send their own missionaries well. But bigger than that, on a bigger kingdom level, We want people to get into the flow of God's mission to seek and save that which is lost. And if it starts with your engagement, you know, and your cross-cultural experience locally, some of that may lead to eventually going, some of it may be just furthering the kingdom locally. And that's great.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad thing.
And what happens is when you talk to people that are from other countries and cultures, and again, the three primary ways people are in your community, they're either there as refugees, they're either there as immigrants, or many times there's people that are international students. But when you find they're there and you begin to interact with them and you begin to build a relationship with them and hear their story, what happens is they tell you about what it's like back home.
Yes.
And as they describe it and long for it or are glad they're away from it because it's so dangerous, your heart is tugged, and now you're going to begin praying for that person and their family that are left behind in their other country. In fact, I had a meeting yesterday with a man from a very significant Middle Eastern country who his country has been, you know, it's chaos right now. And he's still got family members there. And nothing is the way it was when he grew up, and his heart is broken. And now I hear his brokenness. And so I can pray. I can pray for him. And he's not a believer. And I can pray for his country and people from his neighborhood.
It would be just like our Lord to do something special in his life.
Yes.
To show the power of the God you worship and maybe bring him into that worship relationship.
Yeah, and that's, you know, in a sense, that's what our goal is, that God would be glorified by bringing another person into his kingdom that represents the cultural diversity that he himself created.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, we've spoken of several ways that people can, as individuals within the local body, can get into the mission flow.
Yes.
Any last thoughts on this?
No, other than, you know, I just think that you can't have an encounter with the God. If you truly have an encounter with the God of the Bible, you'll see his heart for the nations. And even if your church isn't tracking in the same way as you are at that point in time, your heart is going to be to step into the flow of where you know his heart's at. And these ways are going to be happening, will take place in your life. But as we pointed out, if you're really a part of a local church, you're going to be infectious with that to the people that you have a relationship with. And that's what you want to do.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission. We will be continuing with this podcast series, but also give us some feedback. We'd appreciate that. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you. We look forward to the next time.